is the Sports Den with Denny Thompson and James Coleman on 1010XL.
You know who is good to be right now?
Who?
Eric Reed.
I mean, yeah. I mean, him and his partner.
No. See, Colin, Cap took the heat.
That's true.
Eric Reed straight, like,
signed his contract. Got his contract.
He's still playing. Now, he's getting piss tested every other week.
I take that.
But still playing and rides coattails to a settlement. Like, how is he even in the same suit? I hope Cap ain't going 50-50 with him.
I'm sure there's a split, but it ain't 50-50.
It better be like a 97-3. Mm-hmm.
Eric's probably happy no matter what.
Yeah, that's all I thought about today when I read about the settlement between the NFL and Colin Kaepernick.
When it came across my phone, I was just like, man, I didn't have to pull a Jason Lock and Foreman with my deductive reasoning. Haven't I always said that? That this isn't about Cap playing football again.
Right, yeah.
And I also said that the last thing the owners are going to do is have 32 billionaires take a stand and testify that they didn't collude because they can get tripped up. That's 32 plus different counts of perjury that you could possibly get.
Well,
all you got to do is trip up one of them.
I think Pro Football Talk actually made a very good point today. Is the NFL settles this. Nobody knows for how much. We'll never know for sure. But the biggest thing it does for the NFL is it keeps private the emails and texts.
Right.
That were traded. And so it doesn't even have to be collusion. Like, I mean, at some point, those emails and texts were going to come through. And even if it weren't anything about Kaepernick, there's probably some stuff on there they didn't want getting
That's
out.
My point. Like, the things that would get exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Would
outside
be
of this.
Outside, like, so it would have been, like, you talk about a PR hit. That's why I said Cap would win. And everybody's like, he's not going to win. He's not going to do that. I say, they're not going to let this go to trial. And people are like, well, this kind of sullies his campaign for rights and things like that. And not really. He kind of got his point across. He didn't win. He didn't lose. But, I mean, the NFL just, like, again, the crazy part about this is there is speculation on what they would make, like between 60 and 80 million. It could be less, could be more. Who knows?
Attorneys are happy.
Do you know what could have happened, though? Somebody could have fell on the sword for $5 million and this whole thing would have been over.
Yeah. Well, but.
Three-year deal. Like, I mean, just sign them out the gate.
Yeah,
and it'll cost you a lot less.
Yeah.
And you got to pay attorney fees.
Although, to play devil's advocate on that, somebody falls on the sword and they also lose revenue from these, you know, boycotts, all that kind of stuff. You know what? Just divvy up 60 mil and get it.
But what I'm saying is, like,
who, you know what I mean, though?
The boycott lost steam like this because the people who said they're not going to forget the black people who there's black people who said they'll never watch the NFL because Cap. And there's not just black people. There's other people who said it. Then there's people who said that they disrespected the flag. I'm never going to watch the NFL. But even the people who were in markets, when you're winning, it doesn't hurt. And the NFL plays the long game when it comes to this stuff. These contracts are like 10 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 10 years in length. So, like, I don't know what I was mad about 10 years ago.
I don't remember what I was mad about last week.
If it's a good product, you're going to watch it because there's so much more in the South. I mean, it's proven. A league with the replacement league, essentially, even though it was just a regular season NBA game, it did outperform other people, other sports in their opening. And if they keep getting better, that would, like, people want to watch football.
You know, the funny thing about that, too, he's talking about the Alliance, is usually those things debut and then they die, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this one's picking up steam. I've heard a lot of people talking about the games this weekend and, you know, what channels are on, because they're on, it's weird, they're on three different channels.
That was NFL Network, CBS.
And
there's
TNT.
There's a Sunday slate that I didn't even
right. I think NFL Network plays two of them, and then one's on like TNT or something like that, and the other one's on CBS Sports. So it's kind of weird. Like, they still got to work all that kind of stuff out. Mm-hmm. But you hear the chatter. You hear people talking about this league, which is really all they want.
And some of their social media, they're doing really good. Like, the Apollos does a really good job. Like, I don't follow them. They're all over my timeline on Twitter, though. But because I think some of my clients play for them. So,
yeah,
but like,
what's
now
his name plays for him, right?
Reggie. Like, yeah. I hit up Reggie.
Did Black make the team in Birmingham?
I don't know. And also, Steve Spurrier is still Steve Spurrier, and he's doing his thing.
Tell
in there.
Him not to drop it.
Yeah.
Run the same play, just time tell him not to drop it.
Yeah, like, so, like, people are like, they're going to go and they're going to like that.
Yeah. Tell yeah, Spurrier was, Spurrier was a good hire for them. Yeah, a really good hire for them. We didn't even talk about really Stoops going to the XFL, but we don't really need to.
I mean, that's still a year away.
Yeah.
Just imagine, like, we'll be finishing up the Jaguars, making a playoff run. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like your positivity on a Friday night.
And then we'll be gearing up to talk about multiple football leagues going on at the same time. And maybe something will be interesting. Maybe somebody will get destroyed or you'll see some big hits and you'll be like, man, this feels like that old football that I grew up watching.
I mean, last week did kind of feel that way. I disagree with a lot of people talking about it was it looked like a preseason NFL game. I actually thought for the first week for a league that only had a month to prepare, it actually wasn't bad.
I think the comparison is fair, but I think the tone and the context isn't fair. It did look like a preseason game because they just got together, kind of like the preseason. But you give these guys a chance to mold and gel, and you'll be surprised at what happens. I mean, in the NFL right now, no matter what you do to your roster, there's still a large portion of those guys who have played together. So they kind of know each other. Like you also know tendencies of the opponents. You know a lot of different things. Like right now, everybody's still trying to learn what other people do.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, I want to jump a little bit, stay in the NFL, but I want to jump to the Cincinnati Bengals because they can't hire a DC. Like today, they tried to get the Ohio State new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. He just declined to interview. And so my first thought was they've got this coach, Zach Taylor, who just came over. He doesn't have a network, right? He's a young guy, doesn't have a network of guys that he can call and say, hey, come over here with me.
Mm-hmm.
They've been turned down by Grantham. Now this guy declines to interview. I'm sure along the way they've probably had some other people decline because it's been Super Bowl was, what, 2 weeks away,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago? So I'm sure they've had that happen. But then I looked into the Zach Taylor thing, and I realized we're doing this dude a disservice. Everybody hopped on this. He was the quarterback's coach at the Rams, and that's the only reason why he got a job. This dude's 35 years old. Let me tell you his history already.
Okay?
Because I was on that train. I don't know if you were.
No,
assuming
I don't really
that
know
the guy – I would just assume the guy didn't deserve the job. I just kind of assumed because I kind of went Cliff Kingsbury on it.
Gotcha.
Here's this dude. He's 35 years old. He played for the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Okay? He's coached already Texas A&M, then the Dolphins as assistant quarterback coach. Then he got promoted to the Dolphins quarterback coach. He was there from 2012 to 2015. Then he was the offensive coordinator for the Dolphins. Then he went to the University of Cincinnati as the OC and the quarterback's coach. Then he went to the Rams as assistant wide receivers coach and then stayed at the Rams the next year for the quarterback's coach. That's a – I mean, 35 years old, he's been coaching 10 years. He should have a network of cats. Like, I don't have a problem with him getting that job now.
I just think he probably didn't think he would go – he would be in this position this quick. But you're right. You should. There are guys who I know who are in college who are assistants right now who are practicing for 10 years from now. So, mm-hmm. like, they're making connections with people. They're developing relationships so that if they ever do get a chance to become a head coach, that they're going to they'll know who to fill out. A lot of times they joke with me, say, I'm going to come and I'm going to hire you to be S&C. And I'm like, you probably don't know how much that's going to cost you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people think I'm crazy for turning down $75,000 to go play in this league with no rules. Like, you'd be surprised at what I turned down to actually do what I think I'm pretty good at.
I do want to know who he knew in Miami, though, because – isn't that a big jump to go from grad assistant at Texas A&M to assistant quarterbacks coach for the Miami Dolphins?
No. It is what it is. It is a connection thing, though. The assistant coach is really the guy who really goes and breaks down the film and pre-scouts
weeks
in advance.
Like 1 year.
At Miami?
He was assistant quarterbacks coach 1 year, and then he became the quarterbacks coach and then the OC.
Well, he knew.
Who was the Miami coach in 12? Miami Dolphins
coach. It wasn't the dude with the blow?
Who?
The guy who's up with the Jets, he wasn't there?
Ryan?
No. I mean, is he the head coach? The crazy guy who's
no,
up
Adam
there?
No, Adam Gase?
Yeah, Gase.
I don't think he was there
but
yet.
But wasn't Gase like the coordinator then, though?
I think Gase came from Denver.
Okay, I thought Gase was promoted up. Okay, I don't know.
I'm going to have to look this up now. What didn't do you know that, Matt? Wasn't Gase in Denver before he went to Miami?
I'm pretty sure he was. I'm almost certain.
Was it Saban? No, that was no.
Saban was when I was in college.
Yeah. Let me see. 2012. We really should know this. We're terrible at our job.
Campbell. No, it wasn't Campbell. Joe Philbin.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Joe Philbin was
he wasn't any good either.
Was Larry Coker's lookalike, right? Kind of.
Maybe. And quite look like Uncle Fester.
It's the Sports Den brought to you by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits.
No, you're right. Go ahead. No, you're right. Oh, dear.
What, Philbin?
Jeez.
How old does Joe Philbin look to you?
It's 70.
You know how old he is?
57.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the sun has not been nice to Joe.
Jeez, he is an ugly man. Holy crap. It's like you ever just see a picture like, wow, it just like comes at you like in 3D?
He's not. I mean.
Bro, like, hold on. Ange. See, you got it from a woman.
I mean, it's.
It just kind of comes up like, it's like the first picture that you see. It just, boom, right there. Oh, wow, you were here. Back up, Joseph. There are children here.
Anyway, what I was saying is we're brought to you by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits, powered by ABC a lot of nights. Make sure you get to ABC this weekend. ABC and chill. Go get you some good stuff. You deserve it. You just got done with Valentine's Day. Now, make it about you. Go get you some good stuff. Go to thehumidor.com and put in the Sports Den as you check out and get 20% off the already low prices, along with free shipping. What have you been, like, what was the last thing you ordered from there?
From ABC?
Yeah.
Remy 1738.
I was talking more cigars.
Oh, I got a it's Friday, so I went and got a Fuente cigar, Don Carlos Reserve.
You've been on that for a while on Fridays.
Yeah, that's part of kind of how we got the deal.
Well, keep doing it, keep smoking. I'm all for you. I'm pulling for you, big dog.
Thank you.
Yes,
for encouraging me to participate in reckless behavior.
Yes. Yeah. As long as it's putting money in our pocket, you be as reckless as you want to be. We'll get to the Duval Ford text line when we come back. I want to talk about Alabama. Nick Saban is continuing his watch me tour of y'all think I can't coach? Watch what I'm going to put together with this staff. So I want to get into that. And then we have something that James hates. Someone apologized today.
I hate that, man.
And so we're going to get into that next segment. You're listening to the Sports Den coming to you from the ThinMD MedSpa Studios. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sports Den on 1010XL.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
I'm a Gator fan, but we need to change that bed. The dude yelling, "Go Gators!" Like,
sounds like everything that I know about Gainesville. I wouldn't even have to, just to gale. I know exactly where this is going.
What about from Corey and Brown?
Go Gator.
I like that one.
Yeah.
It speaks of how high of an academic institution it is.
Did Corrine Brown
say, when did she get out?
I don't know.
I bet she went to a bomb-ass party when she get out. And that's one of the best, I mean, I guess, never mind. Yeah, I might as well say. It's one of the best things about people getting out of jail.
It's the party?
It's the party, the celebration party. Man, the food is amazing. In the hood, people get their stamps together. Yeah, barbecue, scrimps, Czech soda, crab legs, all kinds of stuff. You just play good music. And then typically in celebration, somebody goes to jail. Like, it's just,
so
like
then you can have another
and then
celebration.
Then we know we're going to have another one. It was like they busted up my neighborhood like when I was like in like fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
And nobody got like most people didn't get major sentences. They got like 3 years. So it was like party after party at like almost every weekend. It was like a block party. It was dope.
Who pays for these?
Again, like, it's just you go to the park, and people just say, hey, such and such is getting out. Everybody comes over. They have drinks, and everybody chills, and the vibe is nice. It's a celebration. And then they go back into it.
Everybody chips in on it.
Yeah, it's like a potluck.
It's really a community get-together.
The only one that was kind of scary, but it wasn't a party. It was after one guy had he had been in jail for like 10, 15 years and got out. And I guess, I don't really remember it, but I've always known that you can get bacon on a cheeseburger. And apparently they weren't doing this before. Like, we were like, hey, what you want? I want a cheeseburger. Let me get that bacon cheeseburger. Let me get bacon cheeseburger. Man, you can't get no bacon cheeseburger. Man, they ain't putting no bacon on cheeseburgers. Man, shut up. Nah, dog, they really put bacon on cheeseburgers, man. For real?
How long was he in?
It was in like 10, 15 years. Like, he had got out like in like 90, it was like 94, 95 or something like that. So I guess, I've always known bacon on cheeseburgers.
Wow. But like, Corinne Brown's release date is June 6th of 2022.
Oh, man, it's going to be jumping. I might try to slide.
You're going
to
put it on your phone.
Put it on my
now.
Calendar. Like, slide through Corinne Brown's block party.
Go Gator.
See if Mad Dads is there.
I don't even have anything to say. Nick Saban, who knows how to throw a party, has officially hired Steve Sarkisian and others on the staff. And when I start looking at this staff, bro,
anybody else puts this staff together, and the boosters are immediately questioning him.
This dude. We were joking about this when it all started happening, but now I'm convinced that this is exactly what he's doing. He keeps having these coaches leave. I mean, it's wrong for somebody like old boy from Tennessee. What's his name that came down there and now he's gone with Loxley? Butch Jones.
Yeah.
You gave that man another chance. He leaves. Dude at FAU, Lane Kiffin. You give him another chance. He leaves. So I think Saban's new thing is I'm getting a bunch of dudes over here I'm taking this crap over. And y'all want to question that all these guys are such great coaches, you're coming to take them. Watch this. Guy's doing his own recruiting now, and I know that for a fact. He's bringing in cats like Sarkisian, who last time he got a good job, that didn't last but a minute.
You can't get drunk at a booster event
that you're speaking at.
Yeah.
Multiple times. So you start looking at this staff, and it's just like, what? That's what it has to be. It's going to be interesting to see the Alabama makeup the next couple years, because I'm just going to tell you with this staff, if he continues to win the way that he's been winning, forget Bear Bryant.
Oh, he's already on GOAT status. If he wins a national championship with this staff,
if he goes,
then he is the best.
Ever.
He got Charles Kelly as a co-DC.
Mm. That's what I'm saying.
Like,
he went down the list.
You purposely hired Charles Kelly.
Mm-hmm. You chose him.
And I believe they're going to be successful. That's the crazy
part. Maybe what
good.
Happened is they got busted from the NCAA or something and said, look, we ain't going to break this up, but you just have to hire these cats.
I think
this is your sanction.
I think Saban is – likes saying F you to his former disciples and things like that. And so who better to like Texas A&M is getting these good recruiting classes and on the rise. And who better to say, I'm going to take your trash ass defensive coordinator that you couldn't do nothing with at Florida State, and I'm going to polish him up and I'm going to make him better than anything that you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked that he hasn't hired Candy as an analyst.
Why you got to do that?
Why does Saban have to do things, play mind games with people?
Why you got
to
go there?
I'm just saying, Saban is not a buzz. Saban is the Belichick of college football.
Dom,
by any means necessary.
Dom has already weighed in a couple times. Last time he said, pretty sure Lane Kiffin was told to leave, and I can't read the rest. 521 says, strawberry check soda, the goat.
Oh, without a doubt. I was mad. I went to Popeye's the other day, and I didn't get the strawberry soda.
Okay.
I was upset.
Which Popeyes?
Off of University. After I left you.
Oh, okay. That was kind of early, bro.
It was 11.
You
Well, I left you at 10:30, and then I went. Then by the time I got there, by the time you got there and get your food, you know, Popeyes is never known for like being fast.
Yeah. So we were talking about the caddy the other night for Matt Kuchar. Remember? Mm-hmm. How it's filling caddy for Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar ends up winning a tournament that he's the substitute caddy. Matt Kuchar pays him $5,000 total.
Mm-hmm.
Caddy doesn't like it. Matt Kuchar offers him $15,000. Caddy says, nope, not taking it. Today, after the round, Matt Kuchar, after his round today, apologized to the caddy publicly and paid him $50,000. And I'm reading through, and here's what Kuchar said. First, I thought this was like you said the other day, a lawsuit, right? Or he was trying to avoid that, but now I'm not so sure. He says, here's his quote, "I let myself, my family, my partners, and those close to me down, but also let David down," David being the caddy. "I plan to call David tonight when I'm off the course to apologize for the situation he has been put in, and I have made sure he has received the full total that he has requested." Kuchar also pledged a donation to a charity and expressed remorse for how the situation impacted the tournament and those around him after the story escalated in recent days due to his own comments that suggested what he paid Ortiz was fair.
Ortiz got something on him. He found something. That doesn't make any sense. Like, he didn't, like, he just, it was, he's just cheap. Like, he didn't say, like, anything, like, any racial epitaph to him or anything, did he?
Well, and this thing, so he's playing in the Genesis Open now, and it's saying that Matt Kuchar was getting heckled from fans and spectators and stuff like that. And I'm sure that has something to do with it. He's been getting, you know, blasted on social media and in the golf world at large, it says. So, I mean, look, you win $1.3 million and you go out, you know, and you're playing a tournament, you're getting heckled. You, like, I don't need these problems, man. Just here, take 50 G's.
How weak are you? You think they're going to stop heckling you now that you just gave them the money? Most people ain't paying attention to that. You're a pro athlete.
I mean,
people are going to heckle you. You're oh, my God. Like, let me tell you something, Cheapskate. First off, you could have took that. You gave him 5 racks. You didn't want it. You told him 15. You didn't want it. Fine. You could have took another 5 racks and had somebody handle your social media for you if the heat was getting too much to you. But I'm going to tell you what's undefeated on Twitter. The mute button. You ain't even got to block people. Just when they say something out of pocket, mute. You don't ever have to see their stuff again until you want to see it.
Well, maybe Matt Kuchar, I feel like you're not giving him any credit here. Yeah. Maybe he just said, you know what, the right thing to do is to pay the dude the 50 G's he's asking for. I won $1.3 million. If I had my regular caddy, I would have paid him $150,000. This dude was a fill-in. You know what? I screwed up.
Yeah, but you said he disappointed his family. And it's like, dude, like your kids don't care about that. Matter of fact, your kids are mad. You taking toys out of their toy box.
Does Matt Kuchar have kids?
I mean, I don't know. He said his family. Like, I mean, your mama don't care. That was a Mercedes for your mama.
Matt Kuchar's dad is a Jacksonville guy, I believe. I've played golf with him before.
His dad don't care. You took away his opportunity to get extra snacks at the like the one he's playing golf with you.
He does. He does say he has a spouse named Sybe?
I'm just saying, man, people going to talk about you whether you do good or bad, man. I don't. I'm not with this. I mean,
so you don't think he should have given the guy the money?
I think he should have gave him the money in the first place, but he didn't. He made a decision based off of his principles. That's not his caddy. He was a fill-in, and he figured $15,000 is good. But
it wasn't $15,000.
Well, $5,000 first. Then he said $15,000. But now, if you want to give him $50,000, that's good. But what are you apologizing for? And why are you talking? Like, I thought he is talking. He's giving the same apology that guys give who slap people.
This is true.
Or who do things like that. If you didn't tell me the number, and you just read Matt Kuchar, and I didn't know anything else, Matt Kuchar apologizes to caddy. I would have thought something really, really bad happened.
Like he punched him or something.
He's like, I'm not paying you at all. You did. You just filled in. You should have the honor of being with Matt Kuchar. But he gave him something. It just wasn't what the guy felt he deserved. And the guy, I'm gonna treat him like everybody treats professional athletes. How many days was he the caddy?
So it's 4 of competitive plus the 2 practice, so 6.
So in 6 days you got paid $15,000.
5. I don't know where you're getting this 15.
I thought you
from.
Said he said he gave him 5 and then he offered him 15.
No, he gave him. Yeah, he offered him 15 after he complained about the 5.
No problem. I'm going with the higher number.
Because
you
it
got
makes your point.
Offered $15,000 for 6 days of work. If this were anybody else, any other sport, people would be crushing the guys. They say you should be grateful for that. There's people who don't have that kind of money. Now, I'm not saying he was not worth 50. What I'm saying is I'm upset at Kuchar for going back now after he took such a hard stance in the beginning.
I remember reading the story initially, and the thing that stuck out to me was that Kuchar handed him an envelope. And in the envelope, it said, there were hundreds, 50s, 20s, and fives.
I know exactly.
And you ain't paying me thousands of dollars in fives.
Listen, you're missing the point. It's very tough when you're competing on that high of a level and you're walking around. Where are they at? Where were they at again?
I don't know.
Wherever they were at.
I think they were in Hawaii. I'm sure
they're nice ones in Hawaii. He needed some chicken wings. So he went to a high-end adult chicken wing establishment where you have certain denominations of money and you tip the waitresses based upon how good the chicken wing flavors are. I think this is how this works.
Hold on. Well, you're introducing me to something completely new. Continue, because I got questions.
So he walked in, and he's a big baller.
Okay.
So, but he not like Rick Ross chicken wing baller, where you're going to splurge and spend $1 million.
Have you seen Matt Kuchar before you go any further?
No.
Okay, continue.
So, what I'm just saying is he probably went to one of these things, or I don't want to say anything else nefarious that he might have done, but bottom line, he needed money. He pulled out a certain amount of cash so he didn't have to. You can't go to the ATM and get this kind of revenue that he needs. Just went to the bank he held on. He probably had like $50,000 for the week. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, good job. Wait a minute, what I got? Oh, here you go. Hey, take this right here. It's like five something. It's five bands in there, something like that. Carry the one, like something like that. So he just gave him what was in his pocket. That was nice.
Okay. My first question is, do you really tip the adult establishment chicken wing place based on how good the chicken wing flavor is?
Some people do. Some people, you could tip for various reasons.
Did you?
Did I?
Yeah, do you?
I don't tip at these establishments. I eat my wings and I go. Last time I went, which was a while, I think Vegas might have been the last time I went.
People are confused, but go ahead. Right now in their mind, you go to chicken wing restaurant and don't tip. That's what you just said.
Yeah, well, it's a high-end adult chicken wing establishment.
Like they have in Atlanta.
Yeah, like in Atlanta, they've got a lot of them. Our boy E.T., mm-hmm. went to one of them. Magic City has phenomenal wings. They actually have a good steak too. And he went on a Monday, which a lot of ballers flock on Monday to go eat wings at Magic City. It's Magic City Mondays. They have specials. Mm.
Okay. So you're saying that these employees
mm-hmm.
are tipped based on the chicken wing flavor,
or you know, like if or service.
Okay.
Like if they give you really good service, you could tip them.
Talking about like quick service?
Yeah, like quick service. They you know, or they do other things to get your attention.
Right.
They're very attentive to you.
Right.
They don't go like to your table and then bounce to another table. They really stay at your table for a specific amount of time.
They have some talents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Hooters has really good has pretty good waitresses.
Okay.
Or Twin Peaks.
Okay.
Places like that. What's the place over the Irish place? Anyways,
Cole
whatever.
Haynes.
Huh?
Cole Haynes?
But no, I don't know. No, I don't want to. It wasn't Cole Haynes. I was thinking about. I don't know what Cole Haynes waitresses look like.
No, they took over that spot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it used to be a Tilted Kilt. That's what I think. So you got places like that, but higher end.
Higher end.
Higher end.
Right.
Different dress code.
There you go.
Yeah, the dress code is a little bit like a little skimpier, but bottom line is they're there to make an honest living.
A little skimpier, as in. There isn't a dress code.
You can say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's clothing.
Less is more.
Less is more. There you go.
Yeah. Less is more. I think if you were to Google Matt Kuchar, you would see that your story here doesn't really line up.
Listen, man, I don't judge anybody, and you'll be surprised at who you see. Tim Tebow's bachelor party might be lit.
Yeah.
Where's the pictures of this?
I think somebody told me that.
Oh, he goes.
You think?
Is this him? That's the guy. Those are the guys that spend the most money on wings.
That's him?
The lame-looking ones.
That's him?
You think Russell Wilson doesn't eat chicken wings?
I think Tim Tebow's bachelor party, I think I read somewhere it's at
Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah. It's at, what's the bounce plate, Velocity or something like that? I don't even know what we got into. I don't even know what we were going to get into. What is it that you pulled up that we can get into next segment? What were you reading? Oh, Justin Fields, attorney.
Yeah.
Right. Says they didn't win the appeal based on the racial thing that we were talking about before. So when we come back, I want to hear about that. I also want to talk about Antonio Brown. And the him meeting with Art Rooney proves a point that we talk about a lot on the Sports Den that a lot of shows don't talk about. I want to get into that. As well as the FSU O-line coach situation, I got some questions for you on that. And also want to get into some Hard Knocks tonight as well. You know, we teased yesterday getting into Drew Lock and how people were starting to slot Drew Lock here in Jacksonville the day after we did the interview with his coach, Justin Hoover. We never really got into it. We do that occasionally. We forget. My bad. We'll get into that as well because some of you hit me up on Twitter asking me about it. So we'll do all that tonight. You're listening to the Sports Den on a Friday night. Coming to you from the ThinMD MetSpa Studios, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sports Den on 1010XL.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
I mean, it's kind of wrong we're telling people they ain't got no job. They probably don't have anything to do, but...
You never know.
We got hardworking listeners.
True.
I think. I'm assuming. I hope. Because if you're not working, then you can't go spend money at ABC and ThinMD.
They can't spend – yeah, definitely can't. You can't spend money at ThinMD. Somehow people – the brokest people are always the ones who have the best liquor.
That's not what Dante said.
What did he say? Oh, well, no, that was an old person.
Oh, so.
They had just been stuck in their ways. Mm. And he was more mad that they didn't get their cheap liquor from ABC Fine Wine and Spirits than anything else.
Yeah, we talk about, like, the good stuff at ABC. They do have cheap stuff, too.
You just shouldn't do that on Friday.
Day. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's better than doing it on Tuesday because Tuesday you're going to be hurting on Wednesday when you go to work.
Or like I was Thursday. I got to post our cigar pairing. Do not drink and smoke cigars with Chris Gwaltney when you have not eaten all day. It's not end well for you. And I did not – we weren't drinking like that. It was just a tasting. And it hit me.
Really?
Yeah, I hadn't eaten all day, and it was very high end, some kind of scotch with a B word scotch, like I forgot. It's one of them, like all those scotches have Gaelic pronunciations. It's just
I have
weird.
No idea what you're talking about.
I don't know. I wonder if I can Google it. Scotch with a B.
Scotch with a B.
B scotch.
B word scotch.
Yeah. That's what I'm gonna Google. B word scotch.
Huh. Okay. While you're doing that, can we talk about this FSU situation?
Yeah. You want to talk about that or Justin Fields that you just teased?
Well, I didn't think you had. Okay.
I haven't.
Okay, go ahead. Let's start with Justin Fields.
Okay.
So tell me the deal here. Justin Fields, the former Georgia quarterback who transferred and was declared immediately eligible at Ohio State for some reason.
Right.
And we assumed it was because one person out of the 100,000 people at the game said a racial slur towards him back in September. And it threatened him so badly, apparently, that even though he waited 4 months to transfer, that he still got the immediate clearance. But you're saying his attorney said that's not what he used.
Yeah, 247 actually got something right. So, you know, when they're not reporting fake news or making fake players three stars, they have things like this. So they said, while many were waiting for a final decision by the NCAA concerning Justin Fields, multiple reports presented possible reasons for the quarterback being awarded a waiver, i.e. racial stuff by the baseball player Adam Sasser, referring to Fields. Sasser was kicked off the team, blah, blah, blah. However, Fields' statement after it was announced that he would be eligible to play with the Buckeyes next season seemed to dispel the notion that the racial slur had much, if anything, to do with the case to obtain a waiver. Attorney Tom Mars, who represented Fields, affirmed this assumption on Monday to ESPN on Thursday. Irrefutable documentation that has nothing to do with racism was presented to the NCAA in support of OSU's request that Justin Fields be given a waiver, Mars said. That information wasn't critical of and didn't reflect poorly on the culture of UGA administration or staff, any particular student or the student body. That's interesting.
Well, that's...
And it certainly didn't reflect poorly on Justin or any member of his family. However, the documentation did provide support for the issuance of a waiver under the NCAA rules. Now, what they applied for is, because the NCAA can give you make you eligible if you have documented mitigating circumstances that are outside the student-athlete's control and directly impact the health, safety, and well-being of the student-athlete.
Maybe it's too humid in Athens.
So he goes to Ohio, where not only is it hot
I don't know,
in the
I'm
summer.
Because it's not like a family thing, because his family lives in Georgia.
Not at all. Like, I don't. This guy can sell ketchup gloves to a lady wearing white gloves.
I don't understand this at all. This doesn't make it any better, by the way. This doesn't make it any better at all, because essentially what he's saying is the NCAA gives this waiver off of some stuff that none of y'all know about, but it wasn't Georgia's fault. It wasn't Ohio State's fault. It wasn't Justin's fault. If it wasn't Georgia's fault, then how did he get out of the scholarship? That makes no sense, right?
None at all. Side note, the Scotch is Boonahooven.
What?
Boonahooven? Boonahaven? No.
I don't
sounds
know
like
what you're saying.
Right? Anyways, whatever that is, buy that.
It's powerful.
What we had.
Drink it on an empty stomach.
The 18 year is pretty powerful. And
how much is that?
The 18 year is $125 at ABC. The 25 is $800. The normal 12 is
$860.
$800? Yeah. I wouldn't buy that one.
If you decide to go in and buy a couple of those, make sure you mention the Sports Den.
Please do.
Please. Some of you ballers, just go in there and buy it just to mention the Sports Den.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown has had an interesting few months. But there's something that came out today that just kind of struck me as weird.
Antonio Brown?
Yeah, Antonio Brown tweeted out thanking the Steelers fans for the 9 seasons and declared himself open for business. Antonio Brown is using Twitter as a way to go against Ben Roethlisberger. And what I mean by is he's going through like and post, kind of, you know, all that kind of stuff that you can all see. Antonio Brown, if you'll remember back in January, was accused of allegedly pushing the mother of his daughter after she wouldn't leave his property over reimbursement for his daughter's hair appointment.
Hmm.
I say all that to say this. The Steelers want to make another pitch to Antonio Brown. He is going to meet with Art Rooney. And Art Rooney wants to hear his side. And here's where I'm going with this. We talked about this the other day. A great locker room is underappreciated. A bad locker room is over-exaggerated.
Exactly.
This is a dude who has done everything in the world to get out of Pittsburgh. He has bad-mouthed their franchise quarterback. He has done things on social media. He's been a turd in a lot of ways to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's so good that the Steelers are willing to overlook all of that and go, wait, Antonio. Before you just do this, let's sit down and talk. So, all you guys talking about things like Jalen having something to say about GQ and what does that do to the locker room? This is a professional, proud organization in Pittsburgh who's willing to put everything aside and make another run at a guy who has tried to destroy everything inside that locker room. And you know what? If they do make another run and he comes back, you know who will be the first person to welcome him back? Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to these dudes are wired different. And if you can help them win and you can help them make more money and you help them accomplish their goals, a lot can be forgiven.
I think people, again, this is another situation where people put athletics – you're right, they are wired differently, but – you make it look like it's a whole different world. It's just a microcosm of society. There's people who I really don't like that I work with. But if you do your job, that's all I need you to do. Like, people act like you got, like, you're not best friends with everybody. Like, these people have other things to do. They have their own lives. They have church groups that they go to. Their wives have things that they do. And, you know, and you may kill it. You may click with somebody. You may not. Like, you can't force it.
Yeah.
But if he can go out and he runs his routes very well, he works hard, you forgive a lot of stuff. Actually, there are really some guys who, when I played with them, I thought they were world-class turds.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what they were? Really good. And it saved them a lot of ass whippings from a lot of different people. But because they did their job, people like, you know what? I want to knock you out, but it's going to hurt the team. So, I mean, I think people just put way too much in it, and they think that all these guys – I mean, we – now, granted, in sports, people use the term brother. Actually, I don't even know – I was going to say that you overuse it and use it too loosely, but I don't like my sister all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to knock her out sometimes. But if you come over there and you start talking about my sister –
right.
Then I'm going to knock you out. It's just a difference. It's like kind of that's kind of how the locker room
is. The Blake Bortles thing last year.
Yeah, like they may say, like Jalen can say Blake sucks. You don't say Blake sucks, though.
Jarrell Casey cannot say it. Nope. By the way, we lost Dom. He's out. He did a pre-workout, so he said he needs to get to the gym before his eyes start bleeding.
Ah, I know a pre-workout you did. Mm-hmm. That Adam Gase. Best pre-workout you can get.
But that was after he said Hooters has fantastic waitresses. He says he don't care if they are wearing flannel and sweats. Gets a menu the second he sits down. His drinks never blow half full. Apps come out on time. Beer glasses come out chilled. Quality.
No lies.
Hmm. Yeah. So anyway, that the Antonio Brown thing just it frustrates me sometimes. And it's funny this comes out the week that we talked about this, just the whole locker room. I think people are genuinely very interested in athletic locker rooms from the aspect of they think it's like this. We've been told it's like this sacred place, right? That all this – nothing happens in that locker room, really. It's not –
There are some interesting conversations, but nothing –
but it's no – it's interesting like – anybody else's work is interesting. It's interesting in their field. It's only interesting because you guys are football fans.
Right.
Right? And so what they have to say is interesting.
But no, it's interesting, but it's no different than when you and your buddies get around and you have conversations that you may not want everybody else to hear. Say jokes, that inside jokes that only you would get, things like that. But it's not like
what they show on pregame shows all the time. It's not a locker room that's full of hype and you know guys getting you know fired up and all that kind
of
stuff.
There are times for that, but it's not very often. Most of the time, you sit in your locker, you put your clothes on, chill, and it's just there. You lock up your belongings and get out of there.
654 says, and I can't read it. I can't put on air what you just said. 654, clean it up if you want me to put it exactly like that. He says, no. Steelers are that way because they have multiple highly talented turds. And all of these turds together make them the blank. Jalen is a highly talented Dingleberry on a crappy team.
Hold on. Terminology that I think I know what that means.
What? Dingleberry?
Dingleberry?
Yes. I think what he's.
Oh, foolish or inept person?
No, that's not.
I just typed in Dingleberry. That's what it means in the dictionary. Or is it the Urban Dictionary version?
Yeah, I think there's Urban Dictionary version. He's trying to.
Ah, okay. Number one. Gotcha.
He's trying to, like, use toilet humor all the way through, gotcha. I believe.
I don't understand why people just, like, Jalen is not that bad of a teammate. Not bad at all.
I think that's kind of what he's saying. He's saying the team's crappy.
Yeah, God, but he called him a dingleberry, so I'm assuming he's called.
But he called the other guys talented turds.
Yeah, there are talented. I mean, there are other talented turds on that team.
You know, by his scale, I don't think that's an.
I mean, their quarterback for one.
Who's quarterback?
The Steelers.
Yes.
I mean, that's the odd part is when, like, Ben, you should just hush. Like, this isn't like there's lanes.
Has Ben really said anything though?
Like, sometimes he said, like, this is our team. We're gonna focus on here. We don't need any distractions. Like, Ben, 2 years. Like, for 2 years, you were a distraction.
That was a long time ago.
But what I'm saying is nobody came out and said, you know, we're going to, you know, forget Ben. He's a distraction right now. He needs to stop doing what he does so he can no longer be a distraction. Nobody said that. They just let Ben roll and do what he does. Yeah. And they hope that he stopped, which it seems like he has.
Tell me about this FSU O-line situation. So the O-line coach, what's his name?
The O-line coach is Greg Fry.
Right, gone, right?
Yes, he is. He was relieved of his duties.
Why?
Because Clements is coming, which is which is Kendall Browse.
Right.
Why isn't
he already
man.
There?
Well, now it's like he's there on the process. Houston has officially removed him off of their coaches list, and now they have to negotiate the buyout. And there were some things.
Why did they have to wait though?
Because Houston wasn't going to let him go. He just re-signed. Like, so Briles and Clements had both just re-signed these new deals. They let
at Houston.
At Houston. They let Briles go before he left before got fired. And Houston was not going to Houston was like, "No, we're going to keep him." And
how
because
can they do
we
that?
Know because they know it was a they both were leaving. They signed the contract. He's under contract for them for two more years. They weren't going to let him go unless FSU bought him out, paid his buyout.
What's his buyout?
I think it's like 1.75, something like that. Nothing crazy.
Wasn't there talk at one time they were going to keep both of them, though? Wasn't there talk that one of them was going to do inside and the other one was going to do
tackle? There was talks that they could do that, but then it became – there was the I think FSU didn't consider that because FSU is going to make another move. And nobody wasn't – they weren't 100% sure if they were going to bring Dugans on or if they were going to keep David Kelly. But now they have Dugans and David Kelly, so you can't – and David Kelly is waiting to get his waiver from the NCAA – to be an off-field coach. You can't have two wide receiver coaches. But I think FSU
didn't
brings
y'all
on
like
another.
This guy, though? Wasn't he one of the hires that everybody loved?
Yeah. And it's not a – people are on Twitter making this what it isn't. He's not being fired because of what happened last season. That could be used, and people could think about that, and that's any reason to fire somebody. But a lot of people looked at the injuries and what was there. It kind of gave him a pass. He's being fired because the offense with Briles works better with Clements, and it's a better fit. That's kind of what's happening. And now the timing sucks because he's got twins. They're in the hospital. You know, signing day wasn't that far away.
Yeah.
And it looks really, really bad. And now people are like, oh, which ironically, nobody had this kind of sympathy for Alonzo Hampton when he was fired right after early signing period. Like, nobody said, oh, man, you should give him a chance. He was only here 1 year. Everybody was like, whew, thank God Alonzo Hampton's gone.
What was he the coach of?
Special teams coordinator.
Well, you were talking about you wanted him gone halfway through the year.
I never liked that hire. But my point is, people were celebrating and cheering this man get fired. I don't do that. But right now, it's like a – and then I think the other connection is that he was on FSU's 93 championship team. So he's alumni. They're like, you can't do alumni like this.
Because the high school coaches love this guy.
Yeah, he's a likable guy. He's not a bad coach. It's just Briles came over, and it's easier for Briles to teach when he has somebody else who understands the same language.
So that makes all the sense in the world to me. I guess what I'm confused about, this isn't an FSU thing. This is across college football. Why is it taking so long to put these staffs together now?
One, the buyouts.
Okay.
Coaches are getting paid a lot more. It ain't 60,000 assistant anymore. These are assistants that are getting paid pretty significant sums of money. So you have to do that. The amount of coaches that you can have on the field, and then your contract language of if you have to fire your own guys. So it's the compliance, the vetting process. So you also don't want to have, from a FSU compliance standpoint, you probably don't want to have two former Baylor coaches get hired back-to-back. Even though nobody knows Clements, they know Briles because of the last nine. Yeah, he was at Baylor. He was the offensive line coach at Baylor. So there were some things that had to get pushed through that you had to figure out if you can do it. And also the nature of recruiting. If you fire him, you are already behind the eight ball getting offensive linemen. You let him go right after around the same time that you hired Briles, then you're sitting there and you're like, oh, my God, I don't know. But I really believe FSU really dragged their feet, waiting on this waiver for David Kelly and trying to see what Houston was going to do. Now, Dana Holgorsen already hired his offensive line coach at Houston. They had him like a special assistant to the head coach. That was his job. They just weren't going to let
really
him out of his
Holgorsen
contract.
So really Holgorsen basically is the
one
it
wasn't Holgorsen. Holgorsen was like, Houston essentially said, you've got to – if Florida State doesn't buy us out, this guy will be on your staff for at least one season.
It's just because, like, the Sarkisian thing was just made official today. I don't understand what
– this has been happening since forever. Like, FSU – actually, a lot of FSU fans are like, how could a coach leave? And you're talking about the same thing. So, 2013 recruiting class. I only remember this because it was the first Jacksonville Seminole Club signing day party I went to, like what we did the other day.
Right.
The tight ends coach is up there talking like he's excited. He had just got hired. How excited he was to be at Florida State. He had just signed a tight end, and he was talking about how Jimbo did each coach talked about his position group. You know what he did the next day?
Went to another
Alabama. Pick. Then we hired Tim Brewster immediately after that. So this has been happening. And then, like I tell FSU fans, when we gonna get another O line coach? When we gonna get another defensive coordinator? When we gonna this? Georgia hasn't hired a DC yet. No, they just hired. They just made it official today.
Yeah. What is it about today? I guess I don't. That's the thing. I don't, because a lot of people made things official today.
Alabama, Georgia, a couple other schools like made their stat their
is
staff
there something
changes
that's
or,
about today's date.
No, I just think it was just the timing.
Okay,
recruiting is over. Guys are in.
That's the part that just rubs me wrong.
You're
man.
Doing your
it
offseason
looks so
conditioning.
Crappy. You just had these guys recruit these kids that signed a week ago and now gone.
That I can't argue with.
I just hate that.
It's just kind of one of those things. I mean, people have to understand it's part of the game. Sucks.
It needs to be fixed.
And then Landon Dickerson is just irresponsible reporting.
What are you talking about?
Of the transfer portal. Like, the kid.
Oh, yeah, we never got into that last night.
Yeah,
actually, I want to make that 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Let's come back with that on 8 o'clock because this transfer portal, I love the transfer portal, but I hate the way it's being reported. I want to get into that. We still got to get into this Drew Lock stuff and some Hard Knock stuff as well. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to The Sports Den.
You mad, bro?
1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Join us in The Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
Open up your heart and let that hate out.
Friday night, you're sitting at home listening to The Sports Den, hacking up a lung, nose bleeding, kids running around always sick because your air quality sucks. You need to get that taken care of. Just go to Luce Air Quality, luceairquality.com. They do environmental testing. They can get that environmental testing done for you and tell you exactly what you need to do to get your air quality better so that you feel better. And if you let it go too long, it's going to end up costing you a crap ton of money. Crap ton is an official unit of measure, by the way.
Nice.
Yes.
Is it metric?
Or
America?
I don't know.
It's science.
Nice, Matt. We've been waiting to use that one. He don't have headphones on, so I don't even think James heard
it. It's science.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good. Get to Luce Air Quality. Give them a call, 904-803-1014. They bring you 8 o'clock every single night. Bring them some business, so they'll keep bringing you 8 o'clock. What this transfer portal stuff we talked about last night, that I think we're in agreement. We both like the idea because it was really hard for guys when they wanted to transfer to figure out where they wanted to go. There were so many rules, restrictions, regulations on who you could talk to, who you couldn't talk to, that at the end of the day, you really just had to kind of roll the dice if you were going to do it legally the right way and announce your transfer, get your clearance, and then see if anybody wanted you.
Right.
It's tough. It's tough to do. And more times than not, nobody wanted them. And so the majority of people who went through the transfer process ended up being done with their football career.
Or they transfer somewhere really low and you never hear from them again.
Right. That was the reality. That's where the transfer portal, I think, was born, is to help that out. The problem is the transfer portal has become part of the news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the FSU offensive lineman the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting the transfer portal, and there, it wasn't misreporting. It's just not all the facts were given.
Right. Like I always tell, every time that this has happened, I've said, guys, this is complicated. Let their emotions play out. Like when you're upset or something like that, you're like, man, I want to transfer. The difference is now it's easier. And they encouraged. They told the kids to do this. Take advantage of it. Some schools use this as a pro. Some schools. In the beginning, we're saying that this is how they were going to do it. They were going to put kids in the transfer portal. You ain't had no choice.
To prove to them there was not a market for them?
No, just to be like, well, you're not coming back. Like, you're done. This kid wasn't necessarily that. Like, he's very smart. He's an academic.
This kid being?
Landon Dickerson. And if you go to At Fifth Quarter College Football, if you're part of the Gold Room, you can go see the correspondence.
Is that one of those upscale chicken?
Yes, it's – Can't get any upscale.
Like.
It's like getting upscale chicken wings, but college football and for knowledge.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure.
Fair question though. There was a conversation with one of his family members on why he was thinking about this. The question isn't whether Landon Dickerson was thinking about transferring or not. It's when it was reported he was in the portal. His name didn't enter the portal until today. So he did it on the 13th. That's when you have to, at Florida State, and most other schools follow a similar protocol, but every school has something different. So you put your name into the portal, and in 48 hours, you are actually in it to where other schools can actually actively recruit you.
To give you time to get out of the portal if you don't want to be in it.
So just in case you're like, okay, the coaches have talked to you this. When it was announced, there, like when you put your name in there, you go through compliance or whatever. It's only five officials that you can go to at Florida State to be able to do this, from what how it was explained to me. Once it goes to one of those people and they insert it in a portal for you, an email goes to all five of the individuals so that they can figure out if they want to talk to you, if they want to not talk to you, blah, blah, blah. This happened with James Blackman. Mm-hmm. They reported it. James Blackman withdrew his name within the 48 hours. He never entered the portal.
So is there a leak?
There is a leak. And the problem is that when it's leaked, only people in compliance are supposed to know. So it's like your grades. It's like your medical records at school. Mm-hmm. Only the student and the people who are processing it are supposed to know. Now, once it hits the portal, it's public information.
Right.
Like, because every school in the portal can recruit.
So just
you
be
now.
Clear, you're saying that it's with the Florida State guys, it is being reported before it becomes officially in the
this
portal.
One and James Blackman reported before it officially happened. The only one that was reported and he was actually in it, Campbell's in it.
Okay.
Like Campbell was in it. But Campbell was
reported
also
the same day.
They had also talked about Campbell entering the portal like well before. We knew he wasn't coming back. Mm-hmm. Xavier Peters actually entered it and then said he didn't want to do it anymore. He was actually in it, went through the process. I just said, let that kid play his emotions out like that. But this one right here, he wasn't in it. And the reason why I know, I was just like, man, this is interesting. I talked to somebody. I got a text from one of the people who would know. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm telling, like, but man, whatever, Josh Newberg is mad when you challenge him. And I'm like, I ain't going back and forth with you. I literally got a text from somebody who would know, who mm-hmm. would get the email. Now, he said, he's in the portal now as of today, but he wasn't in there yesterday when it made national news.
So they got to find out who the leak is.
So, and again, the problem isn't that you're reporting it. It's that you're in such a rush to state something that may or may not happen because the kid obviously reversed his course. He doesn't want, like, he's now going to stay at Florida State.
But what?
After the news, I don't know if it had anything to do with
I thought
Fry.
You said he was graduate transferring.
That was what his family member said was going to be one of his ideas to go and do it. But now he's deciding that he'll graduate in May and he'll enter a master's program at Florida State.
Does he have 1 year left?
No, he has two. He'll have two more years. This is his third. He's a redshirt sophomore currently. So, I mean, it's not a problem reporting it. I mean, I'm not knocking him. Go get your money. Like, 247's done a great thing, like where they actually like rank the guys. And then like, you can see what that's school so they project to go to because they're going to get their clicks. That's how they make their money. I'm not even mad.
I think one of the amendments they should make to this is there should be two separate portals. There should be a portal for those who are transferring.
Right.
And there should be a portal for those who are graduate transferring. And you may say, well, why? Why? What's the difference? Well, those who are graduate transferring don't have to sit out. And they have fulfilled their time at that school. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the record saying I think graduate guys who still play football, whether it's at their school or another, should be paid. They've got their degree. Like everybody tells us that the pay is you're getting a free education. They got the education. They took advantage of that. Right? Mm-hmm. So now they're deciding they're going to continue to play. Very low percentage, by the way, of people who graduate transfer or stay after graduation actually get an advanced degree. Mm-hmm. Very low percentage. And it doesn't count against your API. So they're staying to play. Nobody stays. They don't stay to play if they're going to get drafted. They're staying to play. They're not. Some of them, a small percentage, are staying to get the graduate degree, but most of them are staying to play. So play them, pay them. But my point is, they're not. They don't fall under that same umbrella. They don't have to get a waiver. They don't have to. They're immediately eligible. So put them in a completely separate portal.
I agree. I just think either way, it would cause, dismay or actually bump it. You graduate, you're eligible. Anybody can come recruit you. You could tell them that you could either put yourself like I choose not to be recruited, But just open up the market. Because it's not as big of a market
point,
as you think.
No, it's not. It is in certain positions, but it's not at offensive line for sure. It's gotten to be a big market with quarterbacks.
Right. Well, I think it's strategic. The best thing for you to do for your kid is to try to let him come in with some college credits and then try to graduate in 3 years.
Absolutely. Early enroll if you can.
See what happens. Because at that point, if you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
If you're stuck, then you build up some film and then leave and go to another school.
I agree. I completely agree. What was our other hit o'clock? We mentioned two of them, didn't we? Did you have one?
I mean, that was basically it.
Duval Ford text line 654 says, I want to know from Denny, how big of a loss would it have been if your D coordinator had bounced to the Bengals? I'm glad you asked me that because I said something last night that was inaccurate. I said that the AD got on the horn and gave him a contract. They actually gave him a contract before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he had his contract before he even interviewed with the Bengals. So he was given a raise at the beginning of – or in the middle of January that had not – I guess same thing. Like it couldn't go through until kind of like these coaching hires.
Mm-hmm.
But it had already been structured, already been done. The Bengals did not get him a raise. He got him a raise before. So, but as far as for your question, 654, I said this the other day. I would have hated it from the aspect of we've got a good thing going on in Gainesville right now, but I'm not sure long term that I would have hated it. I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the hire initially. He's proven me wrong to this point, although he has given up some stinkers in games.
Mm-hmm.
But he's proven me wrong to this point. I'm not sure 3 years from now that we're all still going to love Todd Grantham is my only point. He's not Bud Foster. He's not made from that mold. He hasn't been anywhere over 3 years, and he's been coaching for a while. You look at Todd Grantham's history, and they've lived just about everywhere. He got run out of Georgia.
Yes.
After 3 years. So I don't know. I don't know if this is on air, if I told you off air. When they were going through it, I admit it. I didn't really care. I didn't. If he wanted to go. Let's promote Marquand Manuel or go out, get somebody, and keep it moving. If he wanted to stay, I was cool with that too. So I don't really have an opinion on it, I guess. It's interesting, though. So Florida hosted today a bunch of high school coaches just for like a chalk talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to a couple of them. Man, they're pushing all the right buttons right now at Florida. They're pushing all the right buttons. I this whole thing is cyclical, and I just hope this isn't a false start on a cycle. I hope this is we're starting one. We're starting a nice 7 to 10 year run in Gainesville.
Hmm.
We've seen the false start before.
Yeah, I mean, I heard he did a really good job last year. Kevin Sullivan spoke at his clinic last year, and spoke very highly
of Mullen.
So he still didn't know if he would ever send a kid to Florida. I think that might be why he got in the Hall of Fame.
Why?
He's literally never had all the great players that he's coached. Nobody's ever gone to Florida.
I mean, everybody's got their faults.
I'm just saying that might be why they're like, that's amazing that you sent to every other school
everybody
in
has
the state
faults.
Except for Florida.
Even Sully. Sully's made mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes.
Sully makes no mistakes.
Hey, by the way, quick update. So after our group session tonight, Angie and I walked in and watched a little bit of the UC Providence basketball game. That place was hopping. It was the number one and number two team in the state district championship. UC won. So UC
was this the district?
Yeah, or, district.
Okay,
district
so
tournament championship.
Providence just has to go on the road to some poor,
right? Yeah,
poor school.
Yeah, they'll play again in like a week or two. Yeah,
man, that sucks.
We need to do like a sports den out there for that game.
I'm not opposed to it.
I'm assuming, yeah, UC would host it. We need to look into that. Seriously. Like, good high school basketball's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Crappy high school basketball's terrible.
Man. Yep. Same thing for most of it. Like, all of it. Like, high school football, volleyball, two really good teams, and volleyball is very fun to watch. Same with lacrosse.
High school football, as long as both teams are bad, it kind of makes it
– Oh, okay.
It kind of makes it better.
Because bad basketball, bad volleyball, bad
you can't
lacrosse
mask.
Is just really bad.
It's right there in your face. It's there. Yeah. Bad football, you can, okay, well, that was a decent play. Bad basketball is just terrible. I haven't watched much volleyball. I've watched one lacrosse game. in my life. And that's when we did a live broadcast from Creekside. They had us up there in the press. Remember that? Like when we first started, they had us up there in the press box for some lacrosse event at Creekside.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
And I think we saw the JV game or something.
That's
the only lacrosse game I've ever watched live and in person, and I halfway watched that.
Yeah, that wasn't a good lacrosse game.
That was still at that point in our radio career where we had no idea. Well, we still don't know, but we had no idea.
I was coaching lacrosse then, so, like, that was bad lacrosse.
Oh. 309, what are you talking about?
Somebody's stealing our – somebody's hacking our radio.
Get off the AM. Go on FM. Try that, 309.
Matt, hack. Fight the hackers.
You see that, Matt? Somebody hit us up on the Duval 4 text line and said some other station is hogging your radio waves.
I got to go check that out.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you do that now because it's break time. See? I'm accommodating Matt. Loose air quality, make sure you get over there. You don't know anybody does this. We're telling you who does it. Listen, if you're a realtor, you need to get to Loose Air Quality. Go to luceairquality.com or call 904-803-1014. You don't want to have clients going into a house filled with mold or bad air quality or potential mold. Team up with Loose Air Quality. Make sure your clients are getting what they think they're getting. Protect them. Loose Air Quality works with a lot of realtors. It's a great side of the business that they have. Make sure you take advantage of that. Go to looseairquality.com or call 904-803-1014. Let's talk some Hard Knocks when we get back on the Sports Den. We'll be right back.
XL. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
It's Kanye?
Jay-Z.
No,
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. Okay, yeah.
Run this town.
Yeah. We were talking about Drew Locke the other night. We were talking with his quarterback coach, a good friend of mine who's does a great job, great work with all his guys. And then all of a sudden, I started seeing Drew Locke's name pop up the next day. I get number 7 with the Jags. And it's interesting that I think you start looking at these mock drafts and everybody's going one of a couple ways, James. It's like a bunch of people are buying into Kyler Murray. A bunch of people are not buying into Kyler Murray. I'm buying in because of his skill set. I'm buying in because I feel like he wouldn't have made that decision if he didn't have some information that he was going to be drafted in the top 5 or 7.
I don't think he talked to Uncle Dave about his decision.
Uncle Dave don't like Kyler Murray?
Yeah, Uncle Dave's not a
– No?
Yeah.
How do you know this?
Just inside sauces.
Oh.
Sauces say that the sauce, Uncle Dave in the fan.
Okay. I don't think he'd have made that decision. That's just me. And that's hearsay. That's just my thoughts. But if you've got him going later, then I'm seeing more and more people go Haskins and then Locke. It's interesting. I recorded some quarterback capsules that just hit 1010XL's YouTube page today. And that was recorded, at Boost Sports Performance. What was it, the week before the Super Bowl or something like that, a few weeks back. And my opinion's already changed since then. Now that I went through and listened to him, I too now have Locke as the number 2 quarterback. I've cooled on Daniel Jones. I wouldn't mind the Jags getting him, but the Jags getting him at 7 seems like a reach for me. If they ended up with him and they were able to trade back to 11 or 12, and I'm just pulling those random numbers, I only know who I have those picks, I could go with that. Like the guy's first round. Great. He's first round material. Top 10 just adds extra pressure. Like it adds an extra to it, doesn't it? I mean, will we talk about Blake the same if Blake was the 18th overall pick?
No. No, you're right. It might be why we talk about Aaron Rodgers so bit. But even though he was projected to be, number 1 at one point?
Yeah.
But because of where he was drafted at and his ascent, I mean, he's really good. But I think, if Blake was drafted lower, if he wasn't the need, and you're the franchise guy.
Right. Yeah, I that's my thought on Drew Locke. I do think he's going to have a ton of success. He's got a big arm. I mean, you want somebody that can get the ball down the field, then go get him. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I said this to his coach on the air, and I said this in the capsule on YouTube. My only concern with Drew Locke is the offense he comes from, which is now at UCF, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Their footwork is weird. They have this step called a Cheetah won. And it's like, it's really not even, it's not a drop. It's almost more like a half drop pivot type of deal that he'll never use in the NFL.
It's for like the quick throw?
They basically used it for every route.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know FSU now, and some schools use it when they throw that, when they try to throw the bubble or the.
Right.
I don't like when they call it the bubble because it was called, the bubble meant something completely different when I was playing. It just looks like a quick throw.
You know, I mean, that's such a hard throw, too. I hate that play.
No, I do.
I mean, rarely works out for anything more than 2 yards. There's a ton of risk on it, and it's a hard throw. But my
I think
concern,
a lot of times people don't read it right.
Or they're told to throw it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, from the sideline. Now, some of my concerns were he's because they switched offenses this year at Missouri, and he actually got into some drops and had some success. But he's going to have to show that at the combine and at the pro day. But from an arm talent perspective, he's not far behind Haskins, if behind at all. I think Haskins just has more of kind of an it factor than what Drew Locke has.
It's impressive getting when they put it on Twitter, is making his rounds again of him breaking down some of the passing plays. It's very impressive to hear him talk.
Yeah, and Quincy told us that Ryan Day at Ohio State is one of the best quarterback developers he's ever seen. So I don't give Ohio State much credit for anything, but I will give Ryan Day a ton of credit for developing Dwayne Haskins the way that he did at the college level, because not many colleges are doing that anymore. Hard Knocks, have you ever seen how teams can avoid Hard Knocks?
Mm-mm.
There's a list of rules. I saw an article today about the teams that are eligible for Hard Knocks, which we'll get to in a second. But I wanted to see, like, how do you become eligible? Like, how do they determine who's eligible? Here's the criteria. One, you can avoid Hard Knocks if you have a first-year head coach.
Okay.
Sounds reasonable. Two, you can avoid Hard Knocks if you have a playoff berth in the past two seasons. So first-year head coach or a playoff berth. If you had a playoff berth, you probably don't have a first-year head coach. The final one is you've appeared on Hard Knocks the past 10 years. So think about this for a second. We had, I don't even know how many NFL coaching hires this year, but it was quite a few, right? So let's just say, I'm going to guess, let's say six. Sound about right?
Right. Let's go with that.
In the last 2 years, every year in the NFL, there's like 70% of the playoffs turnover. So if you go 2 years, let's see, there's six teams on each side that make the playoffs. That's 12 teams. So let's just call that 18. So now we're up to 24. In addition to that, you can't appear on Hard Knocks for 10 years. Like they're gonna run into a year where they're not eligible for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
This year there's only five teams that's eligible. The Giants, the Raiders, the Redskins, the Lions, and the 49ers.
Nobody wants those.
No, that's what, like rate those. The team I don't want to see is the Lions. If Jim Bob Cooter was still there,
maybe.
If they still had Cooter there.
Everybody wants to see Cooter on it.
I want
on HBO, right?
I want Cooter Cam. I want camera following Jim Bob Cooter. I want to follow him like through the drive-thrus because he's had his issues at drive-thrus. He's had his issues away from the field.
Make sure he gets to the right house.
Right. Anybody who has been so drunk that our producers over there questioning whether or not he still has a job tomorrow. But anybody who's been so drunk that he has broken in and crawled into the wrong bed. We need a camera on him at all time.
I mean, Cooter is just need Cooter.
Where did Cooter go? The Jets?
Is that where Cooter went?
I know Cooter went to New York. I think Jim Bob's at the Jets now. If I'm not. Make sure when you're Googling it, you put Jim Bob.
Yeah, I made sure I thought. It is with the New York Football Jets.
Okay. Don't want to go to Google. Just type in the last name, James.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if he was still with the Lions, I'd be all for it. But Lions would be my dead last. Who wants to see anything with the Lions? Like eight people, right? Giants, Raiders, Redskins, Niners. You care anything about the Niners?
Not at all.
Nothing, right? I put them next. The rest of them have, like, I got question marks. I would narrow it down to these three, the Giants, the Raiders, the Redskins. Follow me here. I can give you a scenario where I would pick all three. So I would pick the Giants if they drafted Kyler Murray.
Okay.
I'd want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd want to see Kyler Murray, OBJ, and Saquon. Put a camera on OBJ at all times. Like, mic him up all the time. So that's how I'd want to see the Giants. I'd want to see the Raiders if they don't have a home. If this situation where they can't play at the Coliseum and all that kind of, if they're fighting all that kind of stuff, if there's some kind of turmoil. Other than that, I don't want to see the Raiders because Gruden gets on my nerves now. I used to like Gruden. He kind of gets on my nerves now. I'm Grudened out.
You didn't like his Valentine? He'd never trade you?
I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
I saw Le'Veon Bell retweeted his.
Yeah.
What was it? I'm going to sit this one out?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind seeing the Raiders then. The Redskins, this is going to sound really wrong. Really wrong.
Nobody cares.
If they gave Gruden's kid more responsibility, I'd want to see it. Gruden's kid, the 22-year-old who just got going with the Redskins that just got arrested for public intoxication. If there's any other employee, I don't care anything about seeing it.
Make him the designated driver.
I just want to see, like, it's his kid. I want to see that conversation. If he has a starring role in it, then I'll watch the Redskins. Can you, like, what possible scenario would you want to see the Redskins, though? Do they have anything intriguing about them?
I'm trying to think of what player that I like from them.
I mean, Alex Smith is out. He's not going to be there. He may never play again. What a terrible slate of teams to have.
Does Josh Norman do anything for you?
Not at all.
No.
He was good once.
Maybe 7 years ago. He's still running his mouth? He's still playing?
Yeah. Ever since he did this, like, I'm a play and do a radio show, I think his focus has been split.
Yeah. Who would be the team you would want to see, period, if there were no rules?
Patriots. I think it would be more interesting what people think.
You don't think it'd be boring?
Mm-mm.
What if Gronk's gone?
Yeah, good point. The Chargers?
Really?
I mean, just to see what it's like for a professional athlete to have 9 kids from the same woman.
Yeah, that did make Cromartie's that year better, didn't it?
That's right, they did have it. That, yes, that was funny, though.
Yeah.
The Texans wouldn't be bad. I mean, we've already seen the Texans, but one of my friends was the strength and conditioning coach that did all the pro wrestler invitations. He actually now is the strength and conditioning coach for WWE.
Oh, yeah, I remember you told me that.
That's his dream job. That was his dream job.
I kind of would want to see the Browns again.
Like, now that they might be good? Yeah.
Now that Baker's got a bigger role, I wouldn't mind seeing the Browns. I wouldn't mind trying to think through this. Let me see. Let me go. NFL. Let's see. Cowboys don't do anything for me, really. You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing the Packers.
They didn't do anything for me.
No? Steelers?
Yeah.
Especially if AB comes back?
Mm-hmm.
No to the Titans. No to the Texans. No to the Colts. The Colts would be terrible. Imagine
unless
having to watch
Captain Andrew Luck.
Yeah, unless they have that guy narrate or something.
Mm-hmm.
Saints wouldn't be any fun. I mean, it'd be fun for me, but nobody else. No. I can't believe I missed this. Give me a camera and a mic 24/7 for the 5 weeks you're there on Jameis Winston and take me to Tampa Bay. I want to hear the dude thinking about eating W's. I want to see the dude getting in and out of Ubers. Follow Jameis. That's the one I want right there. There's a level of awkwardness that's entertaining with Jameis.
Yes, very awkward.
That's the winner. Don't care anything about the Rams. Don't care anything about the Patriots, seeing them.
New coach.
The Chiefs would be terrible because I don't want to hear Mahomes' voice for five weeks.
Oh, God. Jeez.
Can you imagine that?
I could have done without that. I really could have done without ever hearing Patrick Mahomes' voice. That's the stuff of nightmares.
Maybe the Broncos.
You know what? We are completely missing the boat because this would dispel an internet rumor.
Go ahead.
That's been going on for at least 3 to 4 years about Russell Wilson.
What's the rumor?
That is he lame? Is he not lame? We answer the question on the Sports Den.
Right.
But imagine the locker room. You got a guy with one hand whose twin brother plays.
Right. You're right.
You've got Carlton Banks. You've got some goons. You got a coach that is in his 60s that acts like he's in his 30s with his energy level. They have the juice pops and rainbows culture, but they win. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad thing. They got the guy who almost got beat up by fans.
Is he still there?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But
do you know what the true definition of lame is?
No, what is it?
Unable to walk normally because of an injury or illness affecting the leg or foot.
It makes sense. Because, you know, cool used to be the little pimp strut that people used to do.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're lame, you can't walk cool.
Maybe you automatically walk cool.
Maybe.
It's also unconvincingly feeble.
Okay, I can see that.
Synonyms of feeble, weak, thin, flimsy, transparent, poor, puny.
Okay.
Naive or inept, especially socially.
Boom.
That's the one?
Mm-hmm.
Uninspiring and dull.
Maybe inspiring. Dull. He definitely is dull.
He's not inept.
Nah.
You're saying he's naive? Or the socially part?
Un poquito. little naive. little naive, but it's not in a bad way. Like, naive in the fact that this very good-looking woman who's...
What's her name?
Sierra.
Whose
resume of previous boyfriends,
mm-hmm.
You are a complete 180. And it's not a bad thing. It's just
She was barking up the wrong tree.
A little naive to just believe, like, you know, but it's not a bad... I don't think lame in the Urban Dictionary version that we have is bad. Like, one day Walker Man's going to think you're lame. And there's nothing you can do to convince him.
Okay, Urban Dictionary, you ready?
Sure.
A characteristic describing someone who is just not cool.
Easy. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so people are like, well, he got a big old contract, so he can't be lame. Like, what? Since when did money make you not lame? Like, is Bill Gates the epitome of cool? Like, do you want to go be like, he got money. He got bread.
I mean.
Mark Zuckerberg? Lame.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett's old, so I can't call him. He's been old for a long time. So we don't really know. He might have been cool at one point in his life. But it doesn't, or being lame doesn't mean you're absent of talent. To be honest with you, some of the things that the argument goes with Future is lame. Like, he's lame with the way he acts. Doesn't mean I'm not going to bump March Madness.
Warren Buffett is 88.
I told you, he's been old for a long time.
That man just got to the age, this is when you're a baller, just got to the age where he's older than the amount of billions that he has.
Okay.
He's got 85.6 billion.
I think he slowed up making money. He could push it.
I mean.
He's been a philanthropist. He's been giving it away.
Yes. Second highest amount given to charity ever, 40.8 billion.
Like, that's really good. And I'm not taking anything away from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you should do. Could they not gotten it done with 10? Because I want to be, it's something about that 100 that sounds, that feels
something about
good.
The 0.8, 40.8. You don't round it up to 41?
I'm going to give you 10.8 and you'd be glad, you'd be happy with that.
Listen, don't confuse yourself. This is estate planning.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. 88. I've never heard this. His spouse's name? We were talking about names the other day. Astrid. A-S-T-R-I-D. Have you ever heard that name?
One of his kids' name is Samaj.
We got to take our last break here on the Sports Den. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up on the other side. Happy Friday night to you. Coming to you from the ThinMD MedSpa Studios. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sports Den on 1010XL.
They wouldn't let me give my Black History fact about them.
Well, that wasn't even a Black History. There was no Black History fact on them.
Yeah.
That's like a quick little promo. Something. I don't know what that was.
So we're promoing the Black History promos.
It's titled under promos.
Are we promoing the Black History fact?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, keep playing it.
Another week gone, man. Another week. I swear, man, it feels like we've been doing this for... It's just February 15th. We've been doing this for 6 weeks.
Long 6 weeks. We might have done as many shows as we've done in a quarter this time last year.
That's true. That's true. You like Steph Curry? Like, I don't know what your feelings about Steph. Do you like Steph Curry? I know the light. Take the light skin thing away.
I think Steph Curry's the devil.
Man has done nothing to you.
I think he sold his soul.
Well, I'm going to give you more to think that.
There's no way you make those shots the way he makes them without.
It's not just him.
He's going to die when he's young.
It's not just him. He's making the shots now.
Who?
It's not his dad. It's not his brother. His mom. His mom was in a charity thing and went half court underhand.
It was a heck of a shot. I did see the video.
Yeah.
I mean, that being said, when you're hot, you're hot.
Is she hot?
Oh, yeah, that's not what I meant, but yes. Yes, she is.
Steph Curry's mom is?
Steph Curry's mom looks very good.
She's like mother, young. Like son.
She's still young to look.
Are you saying Steph Curry's hot?
I mean, listen, man, don't judge that.
I'm
man.
Just asking. I don't.
Don't judge.
That's
him.
A no go on that.
Oh,
Steph Curry looks like him and Trey hang out and drink the little yogurt, the go-karts.
Matt, you're a single guy, man. Big plans for the weekend?
I got some stuff. I'm going to go hang with the boys here in a bit, actually, once I get off. So
where are we going?
Oh, you know.
Can we go?
Hit up Riverside.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah,
at least that's
far.
Where they're at
yeah,
right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going all the way over there.
They
never
got
mind.
That place with the fried PB&J sandwich.
Everything circles back around to food.
Dude, like a fried. Anytime I can get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'm going to buy it.
Fried?
Yeah, it's delicious.
It's been the Sports Den. Another week down. We'll be back on Monday. Make sure you give us a listen. Tell your friends to listen to the replay on iTunes or on 1010XL's SoundCloud or on demand. However you want to do it. There's a ton of ways. Just make sure you listen to it. Make sure you tell your friends about it. I'm at Denny_Thompson. That's at BigGameJames36. Matt, appreciate it this week, man. I guess JJ will be back next week. But thanks for doing such a good job for us this week. We will be back on Monday. You guys have a fantastic weekend.